Going back to school can be hard for any student, whether it's figuring out the social dynamics, taking on harder coursework, or deciding what future study and work they want to pursue. And young people with disabilities can face those challenges and sometimes additional obstacles. As a result, fewer than two-thirds of students living with a disability finish high school. But our next guest says there's good news. Parents, teachers, students, and other caring adults can work together to help students with disabilities up for success in school and beyond. Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi is the president of Respect Ability, a nonprofit organization fighting stigmas and advancing opportunities for people with disabilities. She wrote a piece for HuffPost titled Tips for Parents of Children with Disabilities Who Want Them to Succeed in School. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we get to your advice, Jennifer, let's get to some of the reasons that students with disabilities have a lower graduation rate from high school. What are some of the factors leading to that?
Well, one of the key factors is low expectations. A lot of times people think that someone with a disability, frankly, can't cut it. But the fact is that they frequently just need the right accommodations or some extra mentoring or some tutoring to really get through. But the high expectations are core critical. I myself am dyslexic. I didn't even start to learn how to read until I was 12 years old. By the way, I'm a super tall person. I was already 5'10", and I had really no literacy at that point. And so I didn't start learning how to read till I was 12. But a lot of people had really low expectations for me, and they thought, well, maybe I'm just not going to cut it. High expectations, I think, is the first and most important thing that we need to start with.
And that, you're hoping, comes from parents and people working at schools too, right?
Absolutely. But let's be quite honest about this, because there are some structural barriers to some individuals with disabilities. So, for example, schools are paid by property taxes. And if you live in an affluent neighborhood, they're going to have more school counselors, they're going to have more tutoring, and more ability for that child to get the scaffolding that they need to succeed. If you're in a low-income community that has no counselors or no special educators, it's going to be a lot harder. And so we see these, especially since school systems often are facing structural racism in how they're funded, that children of color with disabilities are frequently not diagnosed at an early age. Or if they are diagnosed, they're not getting the early intervention that they need. And this is also true of immigrants, because sometimes people think, well, is that kid not reading because they have a learning disability or because nobody at home speaks English? What is the issue that's going on? Sometimes it's complicated to figure it out. So there's a lot of issues at play.
Before we get into your individual advice, do you see solutions for those kind of structural differences that are based on the school district boundaries you happen to live in?
Absolutely. I mean, to be perfectly honest, our family, I'm also a parent who knows what it means to raise a child with a disability. And we were in a school district that had no appropriate resources for our child. We literally moved. We literally moved to another district that could appropriately serve our child. Now, most people, they can't do that. So there's a lot of tools online that you can find. There's a tremendous number of resources for parents that are free, that are accessible on the internet, whether it's from the Autism Society, whether it is from, cerebral palsy groups or dyslexia groups. Understood.org has tremendous resources for parents of kids with disabilities, and all of them are free.
Talking to Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi, president of the group Respect Ability. It's a new school year. We're talking about how students with disabilities can be set up for a successful school year. Let's get that article you wrote. It's posted at HuffPost. What would you say to parents at the outset of a new school year to try to make sure their child with a disability has the best possible school year?
Well, you have to have a really good relationship with your child's teacher. So from my perspective, that means, first of all, you get a list of your kids' class schedule. You find out who the teachers are, and you find out the email addresses for that teacher. And then you literally sit at your computer, your phone, and you write an email that says, here's some things you should know about my child. Here's some things that will help you really succeed more with my child and for my child to get the most out of this experience. And having that relationship that you have with the teachers, whether it's by email or you call them by phone, is very important. And so is taking the time to go and see them in person if you can. every child with a disability has a legal right to something called an individualized education plan, or in some cases it's called a 504, depending on what the disability is. And that means you have a right to sit down with your teachers that are dealing with your child and talk about the individual needs and supports of your child. And so having that good relationship with the teachers is very, very important.
And I think you wrote, depending on the age of your child, maybe they can contribute, they can help write that letter.
Absolutely. Look, the fact is that parents can, in today's society, be what, you know, is called helicopter parents. They can be hovering constantly on top of your child. And for a parents of a child with a disability, that's particularly important because, frankly, our kids can really fall through the cracks. So let's say the government says, well, your child is legally allowed and required to get extra accommodations for test time. They should have extra time to take tests. Well, is that actually happening or is that not happening? Sometimes you have to be on top of it. But enabling your child to learn how to self-advocate is very, very important because you're not going to be there all the time. I mean, eventually you will die and your kid will be an adult and will have to live on their own. But the earlier that you can get your child used to advocating for themselves and having their own needs met, the better it's going to be, because essentially you want your child to be able to have a job and be as independent as possible. And that means they're going to have to stand up for themselves or roll for themselves if they use a wheelchair.
So that's the parent, part of what you said about the parent communicating with the school. How about what kind of things can parents talk about with their kid with disabilities as the school year kicks off?
I think one of the big things is to talk to your kid about their strengths, because when people see a child with a disability, they frequently will focus on their limitations or their challenges. But one of the key things is to find something that they really enjoy and that they are good at that they can monetize. You know, what are the things that they like that they will eventually be able to make a living at? So, for example, I'm dyslexic, and it really impacts my ability to do math. I can't tell the difference between the number 18 and the number 81 sometimes. So I'm not going to make a living doing math. So what am I good at? I have to find something else. And what is that thing going to be? So the more that you can build up the skills of your child, and especially their self-esteem, because they might be facing bullying or they might be just hard on themselves because there's something that's really challenging to them, make them feel good about what they are good at.
We continue our conversation now with Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi, president of Respect Ability, a nonprofit organization fighting stigma and advancing opportunity for people with disabilities. We're talking about a piece she wrote for HuffPost titled Tips for Parents of Children with Disabilities Who Want Them to Succeed in School. You can join in with your questions and maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. If you have a disability yourself, if you're a parent of a child with disability, if you've worked in the schools with kids with disabilities, love to hear what you think really worked, what helped make sure there was a successful school year. Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Gwen is with us in Madison. Gwen, hi.
Hello. I have a son who has Asperger's syndrome, and he's in his 30s now. And he's working as a computer programmer at a credit union. When he was first diagnosed, he was doing terribly in school, and I knew he was smart, but he couldn't do the things that normal kids were doing as far as organizational abilities. So when we got a diagnosis, I had a meeting with the people who would be his teachers and the resource special education people. And I said to them, you know, I don't want you to dumb down the curriculum or tell him he doesn't have to do as much as the other children. I said, when he grows up and has to be self-supporting, an employer isn't going to say, oh, you have Asperger's syndrome, so you don't have to do the job the same way other people would. They would just fire him and find somebody who can do the job. And, of course, I always made sure that his homework was done so that when he had his resource time with the special education teachers, that he was able to use that time for help with things that he didn't understand that I couldn't help him with.
Gwen, thanks a lot for the call. Jennifer, what do you think of Gwen's approach there with the teachers and the resource staff?
Well, first of all, Gwen is a super mom, so she's got several things going for her. Number one, she had the high expectations that we talked about. She wanted her son with a disability to be in the workforce and to be treated like everyone else. So that's number one. That's fabulous. Number two, she was in touch with the teachers directly, personally. So that is incredibly important, and she was very successful at it. Number three is that she mentioned that her son had something called resource. Resource is a fabulous, fabulous thing for a child with a disability. What that usually means is that they're giving up a class time that might be for something else. So they might be missing art, they might be missing PE or some other elective, but what it means is that they get one class period or more to have somebody help them upskill in whatever area is their area of weakness. So for people with autism, frequently that is organizational skills. It might be social skills. And so that's what's going on in that classroom. But for that child to have resource, that means the child had an IEP, an individualized education program, or F504. And that's something that a parent has to ask the school system to do the testing and make sure their kid has the right and has the resources, because that's a really, really important thing. That every single day in the classroom, having somebody help that young person with their organizational skills or whatever else is very, very important to scaffold that person to success. And I must say that today in Wisconsin, there's better than the national average for people with disabilities in terms of employment, but only 41% of working age people with disabilities are employed. So, you know, look, only 41% have a job, and her son has a job. Why does her son have a job? Because she, as a parent, was really on it. She really took care of taking care of the important things, communicating with the teachers, high expectation, making sure the legal rights of her child were taken care of. And because of that, her child, who's now an adult, who probably really worked hard and deserves a tremendous credit for this on his own, is succeeding. So congratulations to Gwen.
Gwen, thanks for that call. Time for one more call. Amy is with us in Green Bay. Amy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a parent of a special needs awesome young man, and I'm also a teacher in special ed at the high school level. And a big challenge has been my husband, it's really opened my eyes. He was not familiar with the world of IEPs, and that made me really kind of look at differently how I do my job, but it also gave me some insight for how parents feel and how to approach things maybe a little bit more user-friendly with the verbiage and all of that. So thank you for this piece. I think it's absolutely awesome.
Amy, thanks a lot for the call. Amy has seen it from both sides here. Jennifer, we just have a couple minutes left. Can you give a message? I know your piece that we're talking about is targeted toward parents. Can you leave us with some thoughts for the teachers out there listening?
Well, I think the teachers who build a trusting relationship with the parents, and particularly the ones who let the parents know immediately when there's an issue in the classroom. One of the problems that teachers can really cause is if they let things build up, if a child is getting too frustrated, if the child is, you know, having too many failures in a row. So when the teacher lets the parent know right away, hey, today Johnny had an issue or Susie had an issue, and this is what the issue is, so the parents can talk about it with the child at home, because then you don't have that mental health issue build on top of the other disabilities that comes from the frustration. So that's my advice for the teachers, is let the parents know if something happened in the classroom that didn't go well, let the folks at home know so the folks at home can be helpful as well.
And in our last 30, 40 seconds or so, Jennifer, are we getting better in our schools at working with kids with disabilities?
We are getting better at working with kids with disabilities. The graduation rate is going up a bit, but we still have a very, very long way to go. And as evidenced by the fact that only 7% of students with a disability who are born with a disability actually complete college. So it's very, very important to have those high expectations and not just think about completing high school. Can we complete college? Or if they're interested in engineering or something that might have even more advanced education, why not go for it? Look, Stephen Hawking unlocked the secrets of the universe from a wheelchair. Why can't people with disabilities unlock the future and create a better world for all of us?
Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi, president of the group Respect Ability, a nonprofit that works on issues for people with disabilities. She joined us today to talk about a piece you can find at HuffPost. It's titled Tips for Parents of Children with Disabilities Who Want Them to Succeed in School. We have that linked, by the way, over at WPR.org/Central Time. And you can keep the conversation going on over on Twitter. If this is your story, if you're a person with disabilities yourself, a parent or a teacher, love to hear about your experiences. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.